going back to Ruth. I know it's been a couple weeks, but I hope you've been reading ahead and just rejoicing in these Gentile brides. It's so wonderful. I praying just more and more is those enlightened eyes of understanding calls those things which be not as though they were. And that means our lives. It doesn't seem sometimes that we're ready. Doesn't seem sometimes that, Lord, I'm not fully purposed. But I'm believing you, God, because it's your grace, it's your mercy. I know it's the word of your grace that's going to build this up in my life and give me that fire. And truly to see our lives, these things were written for us. These precious saints, yes, they went through these things for themselves. And there was word and there was glory. But there was glory upon glory and glory to glory. And as the word of God says, these things were written for us. The hidden mysteries that we see in the lives of these Gentile brides have been made fully known and revealed to us by the Holy Ghost through Paul's gospel. And that's what's so exciting. I have to tell you, get going through these and the Lord taking us, again, just in different chambers, yes, deeper, higher, wider, longer, whatever you want to say. They're just everything. The light upon light, the details of his love to us. It's just amazing. And it never ends and it never will end. But we left off in chapter 1, verse 22. And there it said, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, the daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So we left off with that encouragement of Ruth being encouraged by, in a way, Naomi, even though you would say, well, she really wasn't much of an encouragement. Yes, she was. There was something in Naomi that Ruth loved. There was something in Naomi that testified to Ruth. And it may have not been really apparent, but I'll tell you what, we're going to see, and we see already, that Naomi is such a type of the Holy Ghost. The name Naomi means pleasant, lovely, beautiful, okay? But we know that Naomi also told her, yeah, don't call me by my name, call me bitter. And it's sweet because if you really think of the word of God, it's sweet to the mouth, but it's bitter to the stomach. Now, how does it really even get to the stomach? How can it be the bitter part? It's when we digest it. It's when we chew upon it. It's when we go after it. Well, what does that really entail? That's entailed the Holy Ghost to do that, doesn't it? That's when your life goes from an heir of God to beginning to enter in the joint heirship with Jesus Christ. We will also what? Suffer together with him. We know that that's what the word of God will do. And the suffering that happens in the word of God, I'm finding out more and more, is a sorrowful heart in regards to your loved ones, to the body of Christ. Not in any condescension or condemnation or judgment at all, but your heart breaks for people when they don't go after the things of God. And there's a suffering there. You know, when there's contention and there's strifes and there's different things that, you know, Lord, this doesn't need to be this way. And you see that maybe someone's turning from the deeper things of God, or the world has really got them in their clutches. There's a suffering that we have in the body. If we're truly in that perfect will of God and in that sincere divine love of Christ, we hurt when our brethren drift from the things of God. We hurt from our own lives, but we're not sitting there to judge that at all. But it's something that happens within our lives. And I'm thankful to God for this love that we have. But see, Naomi here, she's taking Ruth back to Bethlehem, back to the house of bread. So as we go into chapter 2, we're going to see, and you realize this, Ruth has already been brought into the family of God. She was already part of that family, if you will, many years ago. She married into that family. But I'll tell you what, there's never going to be any growth in Moab. There's not. The only place you're ever going to grow is in the house of bread. You got to get to Bethlehem. You got to hear the word of his grace. You can sing songs, you can think of all these things, or we're going to make this right because, and you know the reason they went to Moab, they thought it was going to be a better life. They thought it was going to be easier there. Maybe it was more affordable. I hear that a lot. Well, we can't raise our family this way, or we can't do, in a sense, what we think we need to do with our kids or whatever it is. You make a stand, God will make the way. And that's exactly what will happen. Do not compromise. Let me tell you something. You go your own way, there will be one result. There will be leanness to your soul. Fight against that. And we all have had that in our lives. And God divinely gives us that. And sometimes we try to justify in our minds how nice this will be. I remember thinking at a time, well, we could have a house over here and maybe a place down there more close to Polly's mom and all of these things that would have been nice. And all that was going to do is it was going to take us away from the house of bread. That's all that was going to do. It sounded so nice. It's amazing how well I can reason with myself. I can get down there and I can be in agreement like that. Well, self, I said to myself, this is how it's going to be. And we're all, you know, shaking hands and we're having a big hug party. And here comes this leanness that just sits in there. Endure hardness as good soldiers. Get out there and fight. And make steps towards more truth as the Word of God encourages us. And I'm thankful that Pastor Hill, for years and years, that's what he would encourage. You'll never go wrong when you make more steps to more truth. Now, just like us, we're saved. We're the children of God. In the family, we're heirs. But there is more. And just like where Naomi would take Ruth, it was going to be into the house of bread, Bethlehem. And that's where she would get the more. And I love that verse, and we need to read that, I believe, in Romans 8:17. We read this often. I'm so grateful to God. It says, and if children, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God. So once again, that word children means technon. That is an infant. As infants in the Lord, we're heirs of God. And we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. See, there's a difference there. You're an heir of God, but to have that joint suffering, that joint ruling and reigning, the jointly glorified together with him, the heirs of God are not going into that realm of that glory. The joint heirs will have that place with him. That wonderful bride, she descends from heaven having the glory of God. So we see that precious difference, and here it begins. We're thankful that Naomi's going to take her. Naomi, the kinsman of Naomi's dead husband, his name was Elimelech. His kinsman, we're going to find out, his name is Boaz. Elimelech and Boaz were related. Both of them were of the tribe of Judah. And let's do recall, if you remember, Boaz was the son of Rahab, that we studied just a few weeks back. So this is how quick, once again, this precious encouragement, this story being revealed again. Another love letter is shot right through to us again. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And it's just boom, 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 boom. I've got a precious little plaque of that, I should say a little knit crochet of that precious poem. Now, here's the introduction to the bridegroom. It's always going to be made. It's always going to be this kind of encouragement. Here is how we go on into taking the hand in marriage of the Redeemer. And we begin this in chapter 2. Here we go, verses 1 through 3. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, this is just powerful, powerful things here. And first of all, the powerful words of confidence in grace, confidence in unmerited love. Do you see the testimony here of Ruth? It's so sweet, brothers and sisters. The called and chosen has in her heart, I need grace. Let me go find grace. Isn't that wonderful? Look at what she says there. I shall find grace. See, Naomi told her of this kinsman. Naomi told her of Boaz, and Ruth says, what? Let me go now. Let me now go. See, there's always that pressing. It's not tomorrow. You know, she heard of this, and it was like, wow. mean, this is your wealthy kinsman? This is the mighty man? I want to get out there and find grace in his field. That's where she wanted to go. And praise the Lord. So sweetly, what does Naomi say? Go, my daughter. Get out there. Praise God. See, there's that encouragement. There's that witness that's happened. And then she goes. Much like with Rebecca. Amen? In a very similar way. Rebecca sat there at the well, heard all of that wondrous encouragement of the son of the master. And immediately she said, oh, I will go. And go now. Praise God, there wasn't going to be any delay in that. So she says here, I need to go glean the corn. I need to go glean, if you will, the fruit. James 5:7 tells us the husbandman waiteth for the abundant fruit. And I love that. And I think we'll see in this precious encouragement here, Boaz was waiting for that abundant fruit. Boaz was waiting for the one that would be that abundance of fruit that he would see come to get that grace. And that's what's so beautiful here. Only grace gives that to us. Remember the Shulamite? Let's go over to the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. She is touched. And remember, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for his love is better than wine. That's how that begins. It's so beautiful there. Well, she gets an encouragement in her heart from where this is going to happen, where she's going to grow, where this beautiful fruit, this wine, in a sense, will be put into her life. And you go to verse 7, and here's what she says. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loves, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of the companions? And here's the reply. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women. See, you get into Paul's gospel and you really listen to it, praise God, he'll tell you right away, you're the fairest. It doesn't take time. He's already smitten. He already sees that. See, he sees what he provided for us to have, the provision that he, for us to have in ages past in Christ. That's how he sees you. That's what he sees for you. That's what he knows is there that we should be. You read that in the Word of God. There's a lot of that should be, should, because it's there for us. And all that we have to take is the grace to give us faith, the grace to give us strength, the grace that continues us to allow us to grow in that faith. That it's mine. It's mine. He loves me. He's for me. He's behind me. He's backing me. He's before me. His hand is upon me. Praise God. He carries me. Yeah, this is our God. This is why, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, we have to completely reject and refuse this not to have it. It's already been given. We have to just completely refuse it. Go on over to chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Listen as this, as she says, where she wants to go of the Song of Solomon. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And what? And his fruit was sweet to my taste. I want to have fruit produced in my life. But you best know this right now. That's not your fruit. That's his fruit. Do you ever see people always talk about their fruit? That's fruity talk. It's his fruit. Amen, is it not? Is everything by him, for him, to him, of him, do him? Praise God. Amen? Yes. And praise the Lord, that's when fruit will be produced in your life. Because what? He must increase. And I must decrease. If I'm increasing in life, his fruit ain't increasing in my life. But if he'll increase in my life, the abundance of fruit will be there. And thank God that, you know, he does. He gives that grace to the humble. And I thank the Lord. He brings the humility. Take it. Take it. Yes, we humble ourselves under the Lord. But I'll tell you, when he brings that sweet humility to your life, praise him. Be ravished by that grace. I just tell you, it's marvelous. And I'm just beginning to learn. Praise God. Now, it's his fruit. This speaks again of the word of God. This speaks of the throne of grace, where we find grace, just as she did. And notice this. She didn't go to the field to do deeds and work, did she? She didn't. It didn't say, well, I need to go down there to show my deeds and to show how much I work. You know what she did? She went there to find grace. Isn't that beautiful? How do you come to church? Well, I'm going to show God how religious I am. Huh? I come here to find grace. Amen? Because it's all in the word of God. You see how the approach is? See, the enemy, you can go to the same thing, but you go in your own strength, you're not going to receive. You come in that humbleness and the beauty of his grace. You hit the gold mine. Yeah. That's why the enemy will always want to defeat you when you're broken, broken, broken. Oh, I don't want to go to church. Get to church. You're in a perfect place to receive something. It's true. Now, even with your high, get into church. You'll receive something. But you see, as Brother Paul said, it didn't matter whatsoever state. Right? Content. What do you mean content? Content with grace. You see that? Content with mercy. See, there was nothing ever to change. It was always going to be grace and mercy. If your eyes are on the mercy seat, then all you're looking at is mercy. No matter what environment you're in, no matter what happens in your life, I'm just looking at mercy. I'm in the hand of God. Your life is in the hand of God. Okay, well, we're in the furnace. Up, we're down, taking a nice river roll. Oh, going in the lion's den. But all these different places. But if I recognize I was in the hand of God, what did it matter? Amen? Amen. Amen. Now see, that's the thing. When we realize our state, praise God. You know, the state of what we're in. Praise God, that standing that we have. It's beautiful. And then you realize the standing, then the state that we have. It's always in Christ. And when we give him that praise, oh, what joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, so she didn't go to do deeds and works. She went to the field for grace, to get his fruit, not her fruit. Amen? Right? So we are what? His workmanship. And this is where all the grace comes from. You can't study this without going to Ephesians. You can't even study this without going to the whole Word of God, but we don't have that kind of time. So we'll hit some highlights here. But in Ephesians chapter 1, and go ahead and put a marker there because we'll go back there a few times tonight. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He didn't say he purposed it in you. He purposed it in himself. And so Christ in you, the hope of glory. Once again, it's him. Once again, it's him. See, praise the Lord. He gets all the praise. He gets all the glory. Hallelujah. And in that, and in that marvelous plan, we change from glory to glory. And what we become for him. Praise God. The inheritance of God. Everything to God. And this, again, is what the transformation that's being done in our lives right now. Doesn't matter what we're doing, in a sense, in this world. But by the grace of God, as we yield to God, that transformation is going forth. Take the place in the body that the Lord has given us. Amen. And rejoice. Give him thanks. Take the word of God and keep drinking it up, and it will grow you up into him in all things. So, in Christ, in grace and truth. Now, listen to those words of Naomi in verse 2. It's going back to Ruth, chapter 2. And verse 2, and it says, "And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field, glean the ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace." She was confident in his sight she would find grace. Amen. It wasn't that I might find grace. I'm going to find grace. I go into the field. You know where the field is? It's right here. It's the word of God. Go into the field and you will find grace. Hallelujah. So we come into this field and find grace. And it was so sweet. She says, "Go, my daughter." Now, brothers and sisters, you take this to yourselves. We have all heard those words. By the grace of God, we have heeded to the words of the Holy Ghost, or we wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. You'd be doing something else, because you wouldn't get this. But you know, this is everything. This is the "if by any means." This is it. This is that rapture. Praise God. This is the first trump rapture. Praise the Lord. This is it. This is where we're at. Praise his name. So we have heard, "Go, my daughter," and praise be to God, the response, "Yes, I will go." Here we are. This is it. And this daughter will go out, and what will result is a spouse. Think about your lives as you've been going after this. Isn't it wonderful? Because you praise him for Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see that transformation of the person, first of all, you never thought you could be. And I'm talking about the person of God, that man of God, that woman of God that grows before you. That, again, "Lord, I know that's you. I know that's you. That's the glory." Praise his name. Because, you know, we have kind of short-term memories, but I love to look at in the light of his glory. The word of God calls it the tents of Kedar, "O wretched man that I am," or "the man that I was." Yes. Yes, 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 yes. And, you know, sometimes, like I say, when you just look at the tree every day, you don't get to see the tree grow. But you're growing. You're in the word of his grace. You are growing. And it's marvelous, the masterpiece that comes forth. So it's beautiful that out goes the daughter. The result is a spouse. The Lord rejoices of the Shulamite as he calls her "my sister, my spouse." Wondrous encouragement that we have there. And it only gets more beautiful. She goes out with the reapers. It was just like with what we read in the Song of Solomon. She goes out to that field. You think about this with Ruth specifically. She goes out there. All of Israel was out there, if you will. Okay, Israel was out there in that field. Those people of the tribe was out there. The people of God. But what was different for her life, it says specifically about her, she went out to find grace. It's huge. It's everything. That's why she's the one. That's why it's the word of his grace. It's not just his word. It's the word of his grace. It's different. It's everything. It's spirit and truth. It's truth and love. You got chills? I pray you do. Because this is it. That's the difference. And well, we'll hit that in a minute. I don't want to jump ahead. But it only gets more beautiful, brothers and sisters. She was different. She went out to find grace. And when we go out to find grace, oh my, what will be in store for us? Verse 3, here's what's in store. "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers." And this is what happened. "And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. And he was of the kindred of Elimelech." The way this is reading is that she wanted to go out to his field, but she really didn't know where his field was. But she wanted grace. So that was his field. And that's where she ended up. He that wills to know will know. How did you get here? Every one of us, how did we get here? By grace. The Lord drew your life, or the Lord, and again, we all have to make that decision. But I think about even my grandparents. I think about Sister Hill. I think about Brother Hill. There was my grandmother and my mom, just a little baby. And that biological dad, he left, took all the money. You say, oh my goodness, that's a horrible thing. And it is a horrible thing. But it's over. It's destitute. No, it was just beginning. Because there was a man that God was going to reveal the truth to. And it was going to be revealed through Sister Hill. But he was going to grow on in that truth. And then it was going to be multiplied back. We all have that story. Amen, Alex? Praise God. And you went after grace. That made the difference. That truth came to a lot of men where you were. Amen? But you went after grace. And you didn't necessarily know where you were going. But grace took you to the mark. Grace will always take you to the mark. That's why when you say, is it a grace church? That's a tough one for me. You know what I'm saying? I get what they're saying. Do you believe in the eternal security? That's what a grace church is. That's not what my definition of a grace church is. Grace goes on to more grace. And grace begats more grace. And you just keep going after so much grace, you end up in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning jointly together with grace and truth. Amen? That's who he is. So that's where it always will be. So she went after grace. And it says she happed. And I love that word happed. And this is your life. That word hap means to encounter on an appointment with fortune. Your whole life is a hap. You are happening, if you will. I think it's kind of cute, but the word is hap in the Greek. I mean, in the Hebrew. And it means encounter an appointment with fortune. See, she didn't realize what that seeking of grace really would bring her. I'm talking about the bounty that it would be. We had no idea about this when we started in. Amen? Come on. All of us. You know Christ is Savior, beautiful. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're excited. But then that bridegroom witnesses to your heart. And it's like, oh my goodness. And then you start to study the Word of God for yourself. Study to show thyself approved that I'm in love. I'm in love. I want to read his love letters to me. And that's what will break that ice, if you will. That barrier sometimes that we all go through about studying or reading the Word of God. And you realize it's not the amount, it's what you'll take. And if you'll keep taking a here a little and there a little, he'll add all these things unto you. Just keep taking. It'll come line upon line. It will. Now, this was Boaz's field. See? His name means strength. Isn't that something? Boaz's name means strength. She happed on the field of strength. And that's what grace always does for you. It gives you the strength. Going back to Ephesians. Think about what this grace message, and you think about the glory of his grace message, is Paul's gospel. I love that grace and glory, but I also love when you even turn it that way, the glory of his grace. The glory of his grace. So beautiful. 1:18, Ephesians 1:18. And here's what it does. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Once again, isn't that a beautiful too? Because it's all his. It's all his. It's all his. It's all his. But wait a second. I believe we received the story of Esther, did we not? And when the king saw her, Well, it's all yours. You see, it's different. It's all him, but it's all mine. Because I see how he sees me. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Amen, 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 amen. Praise his name. Now, the field of strong meat. So Boaz's strength, it was his field. So everything that he's got is strong, wealthy, mighty. Praise God. She's going to get his fruit. That's what this word is. That's what the meat of the gospel, eating strong meat, does. It feeds us with grace, mercy, strength, might in him. What we'll do is we'll be weak in ourselves. You know that. God will bring that. He'll bring all these things. But you'll glory in those infirmities because that's when you find the power of Christ rest upon your life. What is the power of Christ? It's the word of God. Through the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen, amen it is. See, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter the predicament you're in. You realize that in those, especially in those times, it's the power of Christ that's resting upon you. The word of his grace that's strengthening your life. To not just go on, but to actually rejoice in tribulation. To give him praise in trouble. Amen. That's strength. That's strength. Strength isn't just when you're feeling strong because things are going your way. Strength is when you've messed up. Strength is when you blew it. Strength is when you're hurting. But yet the word of God comes in and somehow you're rejoicing and it's bothering everybody. Well, you should feel bad. Well, I don't. Because the word of God is making me strong. Get out of my face, because if you're going to be in my face, you're going to get this. You know, I love it. And this is the strength. And I've been thankful to witness that in my home. I've seen my wife receive that recently, and it's beautiful. So it's the field of strong meat, the field of Paul's gospel, because it's the field that made her the wife that will make her his wife. Okay? Well, I kind of jump ahead. Don't we know the end of the story? Do you know the end of your story? It's just the beginning, praise God. Amen. Ephesians 3:16. Oh, we got to move. Okay, come on, having too much fun. 3:16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Amen. To be strengthened with might by his spirit. In the inner man, which is who? Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I get his glory, I get his riches, I get his strength. And by the way, it's his life that lives in me that receives it all. Praise the Lord. I can do all things through Christ, can I? Because he does it all. And it's his life. Lord, let me take grace to believe your word because it's all powerful. If you'll believe this, it's all powerful. And if you don't, it's still all powerful, but it's sad because you're just not believing. Because his word is true. That's it. That's truth. And there's the lie. Anything that would think otherwise than the truth. So there we're at. So his field always gives a little strength. I love that. Remember the Church of Philadelphia? They have a little strength. They have it right there, right? You need a little strength to win him, don't you? But it must be his strength. That's right. I love that too. Because, and that's only found in infirmities, in our weak times. God set the table for Ruth. Did you know that? Did you know God set the table to allow, sadly, her husband, who was of the people of God, to leave the house of bread? They left Bethlehem and they went to Moab. So God was setting the table for her. And then God, that man, he took his life, took his brother's life, took the father-in-law's life. And then left her with a mother-in-law who was bitter. Now, how could you say God was setting the table for her? She had nowhere else to go but grace. Life seemed against her. Life seemed unfair. But wait a second. God was for her, and she was highly favored. The strength, hallelujah, will soon enable her to go in realms that she could have never gone. And I'm talking about it's going to transform this woman so fast that she's going to be led to do something that many think are unseemly, that's going to be vulgar. She's going to be forward. She's going to go in under Boaz. She's going to get under his skirt. Are we reading about Tamar again? Well, there's no prostitute here. Huh? Are we reading about Rahab? You know what? I think we're possibly even going to see a little bit of this in Bathsheba. You best be ready if the Lord tarry. I'm telling you. You better be ready. So, as she is finding all grace in this field, Boaz can't stay away. He can't stay away because he loves his grace. He loves his mercy. So let's go back and read what happens in verse 4 and 5, chapter 2. So there she is out in the field. Remember, she haps. She has an appointment with fortune. And here's her appointment. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him and said, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" Now, I don't know about you, but this was a mighty man and a wealthy man. I can imagine he had a big fields. All right? He had a lot. No telling how many were out in that field. But there was one woman that caught his eye. And that was it. There was one. Many daughters have done virtuously. And she was a daughter. But thou excellest them all. That's the virtuous woman. Praise God. And do you see it? Right then. You got me. You got me. Just like we just read back in Song of Solomon. Remember, she's thinking, "Oh my goodness, I just want to go hang around the flocks. She says here, "I'm black but comely. I don't even know what I am. I don't know where I'm going, but you've kissed me." And immediately he tells her, "You're the fairest among women, honey. You're the most beautiful. You're it. You're everything to me." Now, here's what's beautiful. He's smitten. He can't take his eyes off her. It tells that again of this precious Shulamite. Now, let's continue to read here. Verse 6 through 8. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." Now, I have to tell you, I don't know if that servant was being very nice here. You know, the Moabites didn't have a real good reputation. They didn't. Remember, we talked about who the Moabites were. That was the product of Lot and his eldest daughter. This was incest. They were cursed of God. There was a lot of things that were wrong with that bunch. Now, you can look at this many different ways, but I take that encouragement of God. There are a lot of people that will look upon the outward appearance. And they're going to be critical, and they're going to go after it and say, and say all these different things. God looks on the heart. Amen. And I'll tell you what, that guy could have said anything about it. He could have said that was a diseased hippo out there. But I'll tell you what, that was a 10 to him. You understand what I'm getting at? That was absolutely what he desired. He couldn't help himself. Who is that? Who is that? Oh, you don't believe that? Well, let's see what he says. And so the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, 'I pray you, let me glean with the and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and hath continued," what? even from morning until now, that she tarried just a little in the house. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, see, he didn't say it to the servant. He blew him off. He went right to the heart, the source of every bit, and every bit of affection was directed to. He went to her. He didn't tell the servant this. He went right to her. Listen what he says. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Huh? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Oh, this is wonderful. She just gleans. She has just sat at the feet of Jesus. All she wants is of him and what he has. Nothing of herself. All she's wanted to do is to take of the fruit of Boaz. Are we only taking the things of Christ from the Holy Ghost? Wasn't this just like Esther and the instructions that Mordecai gave to her? Take only what the chamberlain of the women tells you to take. Take nothing else. He said, don't you do one different thing than he tells you what to do. That's the Holy Ghost. He takes all the things of Christ and he makes them yours. If you'll take all of that, and you know what the Holy Ghost will give you, he'll give you Paul's gospel. He'll give you the whole counsel of God. You'll win him. You'll win him. You'll be just like this sweet Ruth in the field. It don't matter what other people see. I want her. She's mine. She is mine. Wow, I love that. She exceeds in it. Like Paul. Once again, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show yourself fallen in love with him. That's what it is. See, to know him is to love him. Amen? That's what this is. And here's Boaz's response. I just love that. He said, hear thou not, my daughter, go not to glean in any other field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. So immediately, and notice, once again, he says it directly to her. Hear me, listen to me, my earnest desire for you, you're mine. Go back and read the Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Listen to what he says about you, because you're taking his grace. And notice again here, he calls her daughter at this time. This is the beginning of the wooing of her heart. This is the beginning of causing her to see how beautiful she is to him. How beautiful are we to him? Go not in any other field. Abide here fast by my maidens. That means to cleave by the marriageable young maidens. See, that's what he wants you in. He wants you in that gospel. He wants you in Paul's gospel. That's the gospel that will prepare you and have you ready to win. Ready, praise God, for the marriage. Hallelujah. That's what this will do. This is why he wants us to abide there. This is why he says, gather the much the more, as we see that day approaching, of like precious faith saints. Being ye not unequally yoked together. And we know these things, praise God. This is what this is. He loves us with a godly jealousy. He loves us with a jealous love. We are shut up. We are not our own. We are a prisoner, as Paul, of his love. This is it. All right. We'll close with this. And he says it again with more passion, more assurance, what she is to him. Let's read verse 9. Let thine eyes, this is what Boaz tells to her, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. It's going to be hard to stop here, but we're going to have to, because it will be here till 11 if we get to the next verse. I'll tell you that right now. But see how he speaks to her? And he speaks of her eyes and her vision. Did you notice that? Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Don't take your eyes off of this. The Word of God said, mark them. those followers of Paul as he followed Christ. Mark them. They're the examples. They're the ones in that field. And it's those eyes. That's what you have to see. The enlightened eyes of understanding. You're captivated by God's grace. But brothers and sisters, we take our eyes off of that, we're going to get distracted. We take our eyes off of that beauty, we're going to be diverted. This is eyes on first love and staying in love, in first love. See, he said, keep your vision on nothing but the field for the virgins that are going to be my wife. We need that vision. We need those enlightened eyes that see the value only of strong meat. That we have this singleness of heart, this singleness of eye for one thing, for Paul's gospel. And notice again, she gathers with like precious faith saints in that field to win him. These were the maidens that were out there, the marriageable young maidens. Amen? All right? See, whether it was Esther, whether it was the virtuous woman, there were many daughters, but thou excellest them all. But she went to the place to be fed, to be one of those, if you will, a candidate, to feed and to stay in that place of in love. And like the master's vessels that are set aside only for his use, so is Ruth. No one is to touch you. And notice what he emphasizes here. When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink. He that hath an ear, let him hear. You go to those vessels. Paul, Apollos, Cephas, Silas. See? Get the whole counsel. Drink only from those vessels. Hallelujah. There's only really that one vessel, if you will, but you get what this is meaning. This is what first love is. There's no others. This was David, King David's heart, as opposed to dear Solomon's. David had a heart of, if you will, first love, only love. That was it. Because there's only one cup, the cup of salvation. There's only one gospel, and that's Paul's gospel. There's only one river, and that is the river of living water that flows from the throne of God. And we're drinking, and praise God, we're moving upstream. And someday, if you'll keep drinking, you're going to go upstream so far that you'll be right there in the midst of the throne of God. You know that, don't you? This is assured. This is where he's placed us. This is that grace that circled you out. This is that life, just like a Ruth, that no one thought anything of, that maybe it looked like a disaster, your home life, your parents, your lack thereof, deaths, maybe it was abuse. I don't know what may have been, but I know God did. And I know, once again, you had a perfect tailor-made path to be at this point you're at right now. If it was any other way, if Ruth's husband would have lived, it wouldn't have happened. If the father-in-law, if the mother-in-law wasn't bitter, there wouldn't be that desire in Ruth to say, you know, you have that hope. Think of the encouragement, all of these testimonies in this story. Brothers and sisters, it's a lifetime right there in this one little book of Ruth. We feast upon this and grow up into it. I'll tell you what, you'll grow up into all things in Christ. But that's how all-powerful the Word of God is. And you can even say that about a verse in the Bible almost. We can take a chapter. He said, man, Lord, if I could just get that. Well, you know what? He'll give it all to you. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.